Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Banca Transilvania regarding the preliminary financial results 2020. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by the zero on your telephone for an operator assistance. May I now hand over to Mr. Tilik, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good afternoon or good morning. Thank you for joining us at this call when we will try to give some guidance and clarity about our 2020, and definitely we'll try to answer your questions. I will not, I don't want to enter into very deep details of macroeconomic developments or banking system. Unfortunately, during 2020 and for some of us even until now in 2021, we had been staying at home a lot and reading a lot. So I'm sure that you are following all the developments very carefully, but also just how to say, to have a good start to our presentation, I would like to give some basic highlights about Romania. Definitely, last year was a very atypical year for any country, any industry, any bank, for our customers and for ourselves as well. We had been a very strong start. It was one of the best January months that we had ever in 2020. And then mid-February, we had been entering lockdowns in Romania, in most part of Europe. Business volumes, customer interactions were partially disrupted. But we are very happy to see is that not only Banca Transilvania, but the Romanian banking system in general showed good signs of resilience and very strong business continuity performance. Because overnight we had to change our interactions to digital channels and we had to establish, we had to invent new ways of solving customers' problems. There were big waves of moratoriums also being discussed and then coming. But as market leaders, I think we created a good best practice, which was followed by the rest of the banks, so that it created a positive cycle, maybe in terms of economic cycle. This was one of the few moments in Romania where we have seen authorities monitoring, establishing the fiscal policy, monetary policy, and also the markets themselves were cooperating for the well-being, for the financial and economic health of the markets. Our measure, the priority was definitely the well-being of our staff, our customers, both in terms of health and also financially. But towards the end of the year, and now also we see these days, Romania started even outperforming some of its peers in terms of economic figures, but also in terms of COVID treatment. And now Romania, as per our knowledge, is in top 10 countries in the world in terms of vaccine enrollment, and also numbers are quite stable. Hospitals are not under pressure. With the new Tulpin, and now we are all reading about viruses and vaccines these days, the new Tulpins coming from Brazil, South Africa, UK are quite under control. And I see that Romanian authorities have a better communication also with the markets, with the citizens, with the public in general. So after almost a disastrous first quarter and second quarter, in the third quarter with the opening of the markets, we have seen that the GDP was recovering. And then in the last quarter of the year, we see the continuation of the growth trend. So although the economy declined almost 4% in 2020, the number is well much better than our peers, some other emerging markets. And also we see the economic activity. If you look at also our traffic in our agencies, number of transactions, number of payments, the supply relations, factoring transactions, we see that the economic activity is picking up. The new government had a big challenge. There were elections at the end of last year, but there was also an interim government by the National Liberals. Now, in the last quarter, we have a coalition government, which hopefully in the real sense of the word of coalition, they cooperate well. They have similar ideas about economic doctrine and about the market's needs. So we see that public investment is in their agenda, is the prioritized item. Romania is trying to finalize the budget approval process and also trying to finalize also the plan, the project for the attraction of European Union funds, where also the President Klaus Iohannis has committed that Romania will come with a reliable and also attractive plan in the next few months. Last year, one of the positive things that happened, besides the good public investment program with the IMM Invest, the SME Invest program, was also the fact that unemployment didn't change much. And we see that the saving deposits of the retail customers had been increasing. This shows resilience also in terms of the future payment and investment prospects. And we have seen that corporate loans grew quite aggressively during 2020 by 6.4%, also supported by the government programs and European Union funds. But also in the third quarter and fourth quarter, we have seen that retail demand had been coming back, had been recovering, although it was not at the level of 2019. And the household deposits grew over 15%, which helped to create this nice-to-have problem, maybe, not only for us, but most of the banks, by decreasing the loan-to-deposit ratio to 67%. And we think that during the first half of this year, this trend will prevail. As regard to the investments and construction, maybe public construction, I have to admit that if you hear some background noise, we are also moving to our new head offices, and there are some works going on. We couldn't convince the construction company to stop. So if there is a sound interruption, this is a good development. The biggest Romanian bank is investing in its new headquarters. And I would like to just mention what we have done last year, besides definitely showing our support in terms of donations, in terms of being involved in communities, and trying to support governmental efforts. We had been the main bank of SME Invest program, where BT had almost 40% market share. And then when it came to the European Union's funds or micro grants and working capital grants, actually over 50% of the applicants, they chose BT as their bank to work with. This confirms that we have this strong customer sympathy and image capital as being the bank for small and medium sized enterprises. And I'm glad that our network, our business lines, our support departments managed to address the needs of the customers in time, so that we could support the relaunching of Romanian economy. We have accelerated our digital transformation program. We started opening accounts online. We started both through phone banking and online banking, offering almost all kinds of banking services, starting to ask for accept loan requests from retail customers also online. And our online lending activity grew 5 times as compared to 2019. We have opted for different tools, including WhatsApp banking, using more chatbots, and try to be present for our customers whenever and wherever they need it. It is also good to see that maybe we have to admit that we have underestimated our customers in terms of their digital nativeness, because BTPay, our wallet, reached more than 1 million users, and more than half of our customers, 1.7 million customers, they are using one of our digital channels, be it BT24, Neo, or BTPay, for their banking transactions. Coming back to the financial performance that we have briefly announced last year, definitely the challenges of the last year with the pandemics and lockdowns is being reflected on the numbers. We had been saying that the burden, financial and economic burden of the crisis, the pandemics, will be felt in 2020, but more heavily in 2021, maybe. We are slightly more optimistic now, seeing how things had been handled and looking how we have performed, our customers have performed. So our we have managed to slightly increase our pre-provision operating profits, almost 1%, although our net profit has decreased due to heavier prudential approach to provisioning of the loan portfolio. And our cost of risk jumped from 60 basis points to 180 basis points, where we think that in 2021 we will not reach the level of 2020, but neither the level of 2019. So most probably we will have a cost of risk over 100 basis points this year as well. We have delivered a good cost to income ratio. When our revenues were decreasing, we managed to also keep costs under control. And there were definitely a lot of cost items that were not planned, from masks, how to say, the liquid that we use for disinfect ourselves and our spaces, extra cleaning actions, all brought, remaking some of the agency structures with plexiglasses, with new furniture, or what say, outdoor structures, establishments for customers waiting for their turn to come. Still, we managed to reach a cost to income ratio below 45%. Our loan book reached 43.5 billion lei, with deposits over 88 billion, making us the biggest lender of Romanian economy in terms of non-governmental loans, but also governmental loans, so that our gross loans to deposit ratio is below 50%, and our NPL ratio is 2%. Our equity, if we look at the equity side, is at 9.5 billion lei, and if we include our profit, our total capital ratio is 22.2%. What you can see is that although the high liquidity that we have, the high trust that we have from customers, while our deposits were exponentially increasing, helped us to invest more on the fixed income side, where the interest rates have been decreasing, and we have delivered a strong net trading income last year. Our net fee and commission income decreased below 2019, but this is this was also expected, as we offered a lot of services for free. We moved to this digital services and offered free of charge services in order to support our customer base. And the decreasing interest rate environment definitely puts a lot of pressure on our net interest income. Still, with good management from our business lines and our treasury department, we have delivered almost 2.6 billion lei net interest income. And if you look at the last quarter numbers, you will see those numbers in the presentations that in the presentation that we are posting. If maybe it's already posted in our website in the investor relations page, you see that actually our net fee and commission income, our interest income in the last quarter, they started coming back to leveling with the 2019. Net trading income is even better, while we kept the cost base, the OPEX, continuously low as compared to previous years. That's actually, if you look from this perspective, in the last quarter, our pre-provision operating profit was 17% higher than 2019. Our household loans grew by 5%, and company loans, including micro, SME, mid-corporate, and large corporate loans, increased by 7%. We are becoming more and more active in larger tickets as well, but we see that it's, I'll say, well-performing and good upsell, cross-sell opportunity portfolio. Hopefully, it will increase our fee and commission income later on. And coming back to the loan quality, as I said, our PAR 90 ratio is at 2%, and our NPL coverage with the provisions, if we include also the mortgages, is at 128%. As I mentioned before, our deposits were increasing much faster than the market, and also our loan growth. And from companies, we had 20% more deposits, and from retail customers, 18% more deposits. Now, with 3 million active customers, our retail portfolio reached 24 billion. And as I mentioned, we are very proud of our own wallet application, BT Pay, which at the end of the year was slightly over 1 million. And I guess this year we will be reaching almost 2 million customers in BT Pay. In terms of ATM and POS network, we are the largest bank in Romania. This shows how to this investment now pays back, because we managed to offer this accessibility, availability to our customers anytime, anywhere. And because of the capacity of our ATM network making different transactions, more transactions than cash in, cash out, including foreign exchange, money transfers, Western Unions, and so on, it helped us to maintain, to recover part of the volumes lost in the first and second quarters through these alternative networks. In SME banking, actually we are known as the SME Bank of Romania with 350,000 active customers. And when the SME Invest, IMME Invest has been launched, on average 2,000 employees of BT, our colleagues, had been allocated for this program. And we have also helped almost 1 billion euro to be granted in terms of, to be diverted in terms of grants to, through SME support schemes. We are growing more in factoring, we are growing more in bank assurance. So there are, in SME banking, we see, let's say, huge opportunity ahead of us on the portfolio that we already created. And in corporate banking, we have 10,000 active customers with very big focus on agriculture, healthcare, telecommunication, utilities, and those businesses have been performing quite well. I would like to stop the presentation here. Definitely there are more information and numbers in the presentation that we have posted, but allocate more time to your questions, as many as we can take. If we will not be able to answer any of your questions on the spot, we will make sure that we will either update the presentation or come back to you through our investor relations department timely to get everything cleared out. Thank you very much. So let's start the Q&A. By the way, I'm joined here by Ms. Mihaela Nazacan, our Deputy CEO for Financial Markets and Financial Institutions in Investor Relations, and also our CFO, Mr. George Kalinescu. Sorry that I forgot to introduce them, but they will help me to answer the questions from now. Thank you.
We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 0 and 2 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. We have a first question. It's from Heidi Leveau. Floor is yours.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we do. Thank you.
Okay, so thanks for the presentation. Just a couple of questions. The first one would be on OPEX. So it developed quite nicely on a year-on-year basis, and I was wondering what is one-off? Like, could you elaborate whether there were one-offs and how much was it? And which items would be like kind of a recurring one moving forward? And my next question would be on cost of risk. Obviously, whether you have more visibility for this year and what is your cost of risk expectation if you have. And also my third question would be on dividends. So last year you were amongst the few banks that paid dividends. Shall we expect a dividend to come this year as well?
Thank you very much. You have actually asked the three most frequently asked questions to us. So I guess we will be covering most of the Q&A from now. But thank you very much for pointing them out. So if I will recall correctly, as regard to one-offs, there is no, I would say, significant one-off in 2020 except the impact of card installment postponement, which had impacted almost 25 basis points our net interest margin for the whole year. Because as you may know or recall, we were the first bank announcing to the customers that they don't need to come to our network to pay their installment for 2 months when the lockdowns were announced, and we were also digitally not ready to tackle everything, and plus everybody was panicked about finances, so we wanted to have this effort. Other than that, the acquisitions we have done in the last couple of years definitely create different changes in terms of impact on net interest income composition or recovery, but I'll say, except the moratorium, I wouldn't say that there is one-off. There is a positive one-off, maybe a high growth through SME Invest program, but we see that there are new programs up to come, so this may become almost traditional. As regard to cost of risk and provisioning, based on the numbers announced by us and by our peers, we see that we have chosen a highly prudential path. We are comfortable with it. I mean, we think that 2020 itself is not a good benchmark, and 2021 just started. We were last year, beginning of summer, there were discussions about enrollment of vaccines and opening of economies in 2021. We see that some countries, big European countries, are announcing their extension of the lockdowns. And Romanian economic growth depends a lot on European Union and especially those big economies. That's why, I mean, we are not as pessimistic about the economy. Actually, I would say that we are now optimistic about relaunching and repositioning of Romanian economy. But on the other hand, we expect once things come back to normal, once everybody will start expecting payments, be it banks, fiscal administration, landlords, big companies, or small ones. So there will be some loopholes in the payments chain that may create a temporary, not significant, but still sizable impact on the bank's balance sheet. That's why, as I said at the beginning of the presentation, We don't expect cost of risk to be as high as 2020. We don't see the necessity of it, but also we don't think that we will come back to 50-60 basis points cost of risk. So it, I guess we will deliver kind of a normal cost of risk around 120-130 basis points, just looking from the after the first 2 months of the year. And considering that we are doing retail banking, micro-lending, SME banking, agricultural finance and other, let's say, sectors that we are in, this is almost a normal rate of cost of risk. Things were too good until end of 2019, maybe. And as regard to dividends, unfortunately, I'm not able to provide any clear guidance, but I can assure you that we are definitely complying without any exception with the recommendations and orders of EBA, European Central Bank, and Romanian National Bank. So once we will, and as you know, that there are postponements until 30th of September, but I think once we offer necessary comfort and we prove that our equity, our profitability are well enough to support, I'm sure at one point authorities will allow not only us but the banks, not only in Romania but all around Europe, to start dividend payments. Maybe there will be formulas, maybe there will be limitations. This we don't know yet. We are also following closely. But our first priority now is definitely continuing the good business continuity plan that we have devised to accelerate our lending this year, and to prove that all the trust of both the customers, the market, has given us big responsibility.
Okay, just a follow-up. So my first question would be, or would have been on OPEX and not net interest income. Sorry. So were there any one-offs in operating expenses?
I mean, one-offs, again, it depends very much on how the pandemic treatment will continue from now on. Because yes, there were one-offs that we put plexiglasses in some in all the agencies actually, and we have the one of the highest branch networks. We have invested a lot in the health and security of our employees and customers. We had to innovate structures that we were not ready to install, or we didn't know that we would need them. But some of those expenses had been done. These are not highly significant. Some of them may continue, may be here to stay. But I would say that in OPEX, maybe partially our travel expenses have decreased. Some of our expenses decreased, but actually we had been in the market, but also at the offices. BT's branches had been almost fully operational every day as per our normal program. In the head office, now as we are moving, some of the staff is in the previous building, but we are over 75% working in the office. And here I would like to share the opinion of some old school investment bankers. I don't think work from home is suitable for banks, especially for commercial banks like us. So I guess, I don't know if I managed to answer your question, but there were no sizable one-offs in OPEX.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Christian Petren. The floor is yours.
Hello. Christian Petre from
Merrill.
Just two questions. Coming back to the operating expenses, I see here in the individual financial statements that other operating expenses decreased in a significant manner by 27%. If you can detail a little bit what's there. And the second question is related to loan to deposit. I noticed that deposits grew much faster than the loans. What's your plan here? We will see a reduction in loan to deposit on a medium term, or and what's the relations with the net interest margin? Thank you.
I mean, the general trend, I will start with net interest and deposits or liquidity growth. I'll say, as we have mentioned several times in our investors conferences, but also publicly, we had been benefiting from, it's quite cyclical. And while our deposits are growing, those customers start doing more of their transactions, more of their payments through BT. So first it increases substantially deposits, but then it starts having a positive impact on other income items. On the other hand, more than half of our deposits are in zero interest current accounts, and these are and we are committed not to charge negative interest rates to our customers, regardless of the situation in European markets. So, what are our plans? Definitely, we are we want to grow our loan base more aggressively. We think that we have more clarity now in front of us where to grow, and it's also regarding to the liquidity part of it. We have allocated to fixed income portfolio, which had been quite profitable for us. But also looking at the monetary policy declarations of several central banks, including Romanian National Bank Governor, I think it will still generate decent revenues, incomes for us. So it's our plans are mostly basic banking. Definitely we want to grow our asset base, mainly by lending to the customers, to the customer profile that we know, or we think we know, that we feel comfortable with. To increase other operational incomes, transactional incomes, to make more cross-sell to the customers who show their trust by bringing their savings in a delicate year to BT. And as regard to OPEX, actually there are there is impact from deferred taxes and some bonds related unrealized profits. I will let George to give more clarity, our CFO.
Okay. So the biggest one-off impact in other operating income is from deferred tax related to bonds unrealized profits. Fortunately, there was a very good last quarter for the evolution of the reserves on financial assets measured as fair value to other items of comprehensive income. And in accordance with IFRS, we compute deferred tax on those items, and that reflected in that area. So other than that, we have kept a very close eye on operating expenses, and almost all areas of operating expenses show decrease in trend to the previous quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a next question by Robert Rosa. The floor is yours.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. I have my question is about... Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Right. I have the question on NII and the outlook. And first, is the 4Q result, the net interest income, so to say, a potential run rate going forward? And second, on a quarterly basis, how much of the improvement in the NII was possibly coming from the removal or expiry of those credit card payment postponements? And thirdly, given the recent rate cut made by the Romanian National Bank, what's your expectation going forward, particularly for the second half of the year, regarding the NII performance and the impact on the bank's business? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, the installment payments postponement, as I said, had an impact close to 25 basis points on our net interest margin. And actually, if you participated to our previous calls or if you looked at the previous presentations, when in 2019 our net interest margin was close to 350 basis points, there were 20 plus something basis point impact from the adjustments of the portfolios that we acquired. This is actually one of the biggest challenges for us to explain, because we had this two big acquisitions. We purchased, when we transferred the portfolios, we transferred them at the net asset value by decreasing the provision. So at first it created the image that they were not provisions up, but also there were the adjustments which were booked under net interest income. And starting with 2019, starting with 2020, sorry, the impact has almost disappeared. So if you look at normalized one, like to like, in 2019, our 350 basis point net interest margin would have been maybe 325, 330 basis points. And in 2020, we would have been delivering slightly over 300 basis points without the installment. So this is more or less our guidance, because as I mentioned earlier, our deposit liquidity is heavily on zero interest bearing current accounts. So we are placing them at definitely better rate. And we expect that our loan book will grow strongly in 2021. We now understand the dynamics of the pandemic, the stance of the authorities from National Bank to the government, and we can draw a more, let's say, confident budget for ourselves. That's why our focus will be mostly generating new assets, mainly with our customers, so that we would like to maintain this 300, slightly over 300 basis points net interest margin.
Yes,
I don't know if
you.
That was okay. You will be seeing also, until we have another question, maybe you will see a good preparation and let's say positioning of BT in terms of sustainability. This is definitely ESG became the buzzword for all banks, but also for all companies. On the other hand, we know our role, our importance in order to finance projects which respect environmental concerns, which help communities, and we had been so far leaders in granting through different international financial institutions like European Energy Efficiency Fund and others, offering green loans, but also together with EBRD we have this retail loan, retail green lending programs, and we will be coming up with more programs this year, and we want to also explain what we do more clearly, because this is not something that we started doing recently. This had been in our DNA since 2009 officially, but we were not shy, but we were not explaining it very publicly. So we will be opting for new partnerships with international institutions, financial institutions, in order to gain some know-how and to offer, let's say, new projects or new facilities to Romanian companies, Romanian households on this, as part of, besides our campaigns, our focus on local shopping or SME lending, we are definitely one of the few banks who is available also physically in rural areas or disfavored areas. This we see as decent and profitable customers, customer bases for us, and we will continue doing banking for them. And we want to help. We want to assume our role in increasing the financial inclusion in Romania, because this is our biggest, one of the biggest growth opportunities. Romania's financial inclusion is below 40%, and if you look at other European countries where it's over 100% of the GDP, there is a lot to be done, and I think we are well positioned to do that. Thank you. If there is any other question, we are here to answer.
We have a further question from Alex Boulogoris. The floor is yours.
Yes, hello. Could I ask regarding the moratoriums that expired on the 31st of December, what are the trends up to now, and what are you seeing there? That's my first question. My second question is regarding the other income on page 32 of your presentation, where you have other net income of 439 million in 2020, a 41% increase compared to 2019. If we could get a bit more color of what that entails. And a third question regarding the dividend. I understand it's too early to mention anything, but could we consider this 20% total capital ratio that you have at the moment, excluding the net profit of 2020, as the level you are comfortable? So this would imply that if, for example, the EBA lifts the ban in September, you could go ahead with an EGM, for example, to distribute part of the 2020 net profits that are not included in the capital, I mean. Thank you.
I will start with the last one again. I really refrain to give any kind of indication. I mean, I think we have proved also in 2020 our strong, solid financial stance in terms of liquidity and equity, and our capacity to generate internally capital by decent profitability, I would say. Although numbers in terms of return on equity were below the traditional numbers of BT, still they are much higher than our local or European peers. On the other hand, we wouldn't like to create a debate. We would like to cooperate with the local and international supervisory authorities on this. So a discussion on dividends, I think it's too early. Regardless of the capitalization, there are several banks with good capitalization in Romania or abroad. That's why hopefully I also wish that in our next investors conference, in May, we will be able to give you some better guidance on the numbers or if any changes. But until then, we will be complying with the requirement of European and local authorities.
Regarding the moratorium.
Regarding the moratorium, actually, as you know, in Romania, almost 18% of the customers opted for moratorium in general. For us, it was around 15% of the customers. And some of them, around 15% of them during the year, they gave up on the moratorium and started making their payments. And so far, for the extension of the moratorium, which is a complex formula for a retail or SME customer to understand in terms of the limitation to 9 months, I can confirm that the extension requests or new moratorium requests are less than 3% of the existing moratorium customers. We are speaking about 41,000 customers initially, so we don't see moratorium itself as a business risk, and this is kind of part of those very small number of customers. They may go south, but this is also being well covered by our prudential provisioning policy.
It was the other income-related question where, well, I don't have all the details for the consolidated part, but for the individual one, which is nevertheless representing the larger part of the amount, we are speaking about fair value through comprehensive income, which means the largest amount there. Then we have some amounts related to fair value through P&L. As a minus-related amount, we have the contribution to the deposit fund. And then there is another figure related to some dividends, which is like really other kind of income in the P&L. Clearly, when the whole audited financial statements are going to be published, all these details are going to be very visible and very detailed presented.
Thank you. Just as a follow-up also, if you could give us an update on Victoria Bank in Moldova, what is going on there? Is there any update compared to the previous conference call? Thank you.
There are no material significant changes, but on the other hand, there have been the elections, presidential elections, and there are political changes. The issue didn't reach the court yet, and there is a lot of the internal debate going on there. We are also following, but we see more and more supportive messages from authorities. Even National Bank of Moldova, the governor publicly went out on TV and assured, let's say, that Republic of Moldova needs investors like BT. They shouldn't be discouraged or frightened, but supported. And if there is any, facts established against the interests of Moldovan people, it should be paid by the people who have done that, not by a new investor. So we are following the developments very closely, but so far there is no big change. On the other hand, Victoria Bank itself is delivering good financial performance as well. We are glad that our colleagues, despite all the challenges that they had, not only the pandemic, but also the official cases, they have delivered good numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for this.
The next question is from Daniela Mondros. The floor is yours.
Hello, thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. The first one regards the lending activity. By how much do you see the net loans increasing this year? And the second one regards the cost to income. Should we expect a decreasing trend there? So below 45% this year? This is all.
Thank you, Daniela. Regarding cost-to-income ratio, I don't expect a decrease. I wouldn't expect a major change in any direction because we have also now other investment ideas, projects, new plans. So digitalization, which was seen as a cost efficiency item, now everybody is agreeing that this is actually costly to digitalize a bank. That's why I would say that for us, I would consider for BT's team, it will be a success to maintain it at the current level. But also, as regard to the loan growth, you may understand that we have to first approve our budget in our general shareholders assembly. We have to announce publicly. So I would avoid giving certain numbers, but we would like to, as we have done so far, grow faster than the market, grow faster than Romanian GDP growth. So it is very difficult to make very, how say, detailed budget when there are so many unknowns. But at least now we know the unknowns and we are trying to tackle them. But I would say that we will maintain our, how say, over the market average, over the Romanian GDP growth. But the final numbers you will be seeing when we will convoke, we will make the announcement for the General Shareholders Assembly in less than a month.
Thank you. And regarding the net loans to deposits, do you have a bottom level? I don't know, something like this? Because they are decreased, the ratio is decreasing quite aggressively.
I mean, as I said, our liquidity, our deposit growth is coming heavily from current accounts with zero interest bearing. We are intermediating more and more salary payments for corporate customers. So we wouldn't like to, we didn't set a minimum or maximum target. Definitely we would be concerned if it will go above 75-80%. We like liquidity position, and we know that it always helped us to grow both organically and through acquisitions. So we are, I said this many times, this is a nice problem to have, and we will be tackling it mostly on the growth of lending of our loans.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone. We have a next question by Thomas Ungar. The floor is yours.
Hi, thank you very much also for taking my questions. It's Thomas Ungar from the Esther Group. Just following up on loan growth, I understand that you can't give us a figure for 2021, an estimate yet, but maybe a bit more color would be helpful. Is it that you have a better, much better understanding of the crisis and the dynamics currently? Where do you see the most potential in what sort of product segments and so on for 2021? And then maybe, I'm not sure if that was answered already, but specifically on the net interest income in Q4 on the group level, the other and similar income was very strong and surprisingly strong in Q4. What was the reason for that? Is there anything sustainable in that number in Q4? And also, where do you see the asset quality going, the NPL ratio? What's the trend that's expected for 2021, and where do you see it peaking at? Thank you.
I'll say, if you, Thomas, thank you for the questions. And if you look at our what we have done, actually our strategy has been doing whatever is available and not exploited in Romania, in Romanian financial system to do. So we will continue doing that. When there were organic growth in certain segments, we have done that. When there was acquisition opportunities, we have done that. So I would say that our focus remains the same. Definitely, we love doing micro-lending, SME banking, retail lending, where we think that we have both a competitive advantage and a good experience. So this is our main competence. When we look at the larger tickets, there the loyalty of the customers decreases along with the net interest margins or the revenue. So it's very competitive. But this is something that we are also continuously active. We will be definitely taking part in public investment, or we will try in public investment projects. Our focus remains healthcare, agribusiness, manufacturing, and also how to say, the industry where Romania is growing. You see that some many existing partners here, although due to cheap supply situation, there, all the Romanian companies, big producers from Dacia to Arctic, they are also facing temporary squeezes. These are the industry segments that we are interested in. We are not interested necessarily those big names, but we are interested in their ecosystem, the companies who are working with them. So I think we still have quite good potential. It will be our mistake if we will not be able to tap that. And if other than that, there is no new segment being established in Romania. We don't see any new industry happening in Romania. So I'll say we will try to do more of what we have done, and hopefully in a better and more profitable way. As regard to, I guess your last question was related to cost of risk, but I couldn't catch exactly, if you can repeat that. And as regard to the other income and other expenses situation, there has been, we will be supplying more detailed answer. I don't want to mislead you with anything, but there were a couple of one-offs related with the bonds portfolio, with some of the subsidiaries booking, and we will update our presentation in the next days so that you will have more details on that.
For the bank itself, we were already providing details that it was related mainly to financial assets, which were presented at fair value through that item, while at group level there are several items coming from different subsidiaries, and details are going to follow.
Okay, then I'll wait for that. Thank you. And the other question that I asked before was not on the risk cost itself, but just the development of the asset quality NPL ratio that you you expect for 2021.
This again, you will see together with our budget, but we don't expect aggressive or significant adverse change in the NPL numbers, at least not in the first half. So far, as I say, economic trends, numbers that we see, number of transactions, we see the demand from our customers for borrowing, for our lending, is making us slightly more optimistic than we were at the end of the year, and much more optimistic than when we were at the same discussion just 1 year ago.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Maybe we'll take one last question, and then if you have further questions, please, as usual, don't hesitate to contact Mihaela and her team. We will try to address and answer that in time. But let's have one last question if there is any.
As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press 0 and 1. We have a next question by Robert Rosa. The floor is yours.
So perhaps I'll use the opportunity for the last question then. Two quick questions. One, what's approximately the volume for this year of the subsidized lending, be it either SME Invest or other government-sponsored programs that you might expect? And second, can you share with us the default rate on the exposures, on the loan exposures coming out of the moratoria? Just for comparison, I think Erste Group reported in Romania about 3% default rate post moratoria on post moratoria exposure. Thank you.
So thank you for the questions. Well, with regard to the public, the governmental programs for this year, there is not yet clarity. So the government officials are still debating and deliberating and thinking about the programs to be continued throughout the year. So clearly we are going to be present there, and we are an active, let's say, counterparty in discussing how it's best to be continued. Hopefully we are going to see a second MMA Invest program in the country. So for that one, details are going to follow once also the budget at country level is going to be in the final version. With regard to the default rate, for the time being, it's rather too early to be able to see any kind of change in behavior. As we were mentioning also in previous phone calls, conference calls, we are estimating to see the real impact sometime in the second half of the year. So looking at how clients are having, let's say, their current accounts now, they are still quite enjoying some liquidity, so repayment is possible to be done in the right way. So depending on how well the economy is going to develop throughout the year, we might see that we are not going to face any kind of default rate, or if the pandemic is going to continue, we might see less favorable developments.
I mean, looking at the low number of customers asking to continue moratorium or to extend moratorium, it's so low that gives us more optimistic view, plus the high savings rate. I mean, that was one of the biggest problems in 2008-2009, when the loan deposit ratio was over 150%. Now, for the whole economy market, it is below 70%. So it gives some meat on the bone to resist, some muscle to resist the adverse impact of the pandemics and the economic crisis.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us and listening to us. As I mentioned, if you have further questions, please send them to us and we will try to answer. If you have any recommendations as regards to the presentation, we will try to update and upgrade it definitely. And we have noted that there are a couple of questions that we couldn't answer now in detail, which you will soon see within the presentation in more detailed manner. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect it.